The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. We did our show 2 hours later than usual on Friday, Tony. How you feeling?
Tony Kornheiser, it's been a tight turnaround, but I think my body is ready. You know, I actually got a few texts from people, and I'm not a text guy like you are, but I got a few saying, boy, it's really late. You look terrible. You look like you really needed to go to sleep. And I thought it's like 7 o'clock. What? You know, honestly. But I got those texts. Always welcome. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Nets get Blake Griffin, Michigan State gets another win, and Bryson DeChambeau gets a text from Tiger. But we begin today with the NBA All-Star Game. Some of the highlights were Giannis Antetokounmpo shooting 16 for 16, which doesn't even happen when you're playing alone in your driveway and winning the MVP. Damian Lillard pulled up from 40 feet on the shot that officially won the game. Steph Curry won the three-point contest on the last ball, and Anthony Simons won the dunk contest by getting his face even with the rim. Wilbon, what was the most memorable moment for you?
Tony, Giannis going 16 for 16. It's like you said, you can't even do that in your driveway. You can't. And so what I'm going to say now, I apologize to Giannis for in advance. But the two players that I said last week, I told Stephen A. this, that I would pay to see, top two, Dame and Steph, Steph and Dame. Nothing that happened last night changes that. Because when you look at Dame, I mean, yes, he's got the one shot that wins it or, you know, secures the 170th point. But, Tony, there was another shot previous to that where he is straddling the half-court line and he sinks it. He and Steph, they just go to places. You and I covered basketball for a long time. Coaches wouldn't even let players take those shots. The greatest shooters of all time wouldn't even take those. They said, no, that's a bad shot. Steph and Dame. Dame and Steph.
Yeah, those are actually bad shots in real games from half court, and nobody takes them in real games from half court. But the All-Star Game is an exhibition in which people are supposed to have a lot of fun and show off things that are perhaps being harnessed in the regular season. I'm going in an entirely different direction. I'm going to tell you the most memorable thing for me was how close the NBA came to a viral meltdown. The notion that Joel Embiid and Simmons, Ben Simmons, could not play this game because of contact tracing from their barber. Okay, the barber was positive. They fly separately to Atlanta, and they are pulled away and say, you can't even play. Had they been infected, and had they been out there with the 24 best players in the NBA, we could see an NBA resuming without the best players. I don't know how close they came, but I'm really happy that that didn't happen. And I think this is why a lot of players said, is it worth it to have this All-Star game? I read some stuff by Bradley Beal, and he said, the only reason we're doing this is the collective bargaining agreement insists that we do it. It's for money or we wouldn't do it. But I would ask you this before we get out of here. What is, you and I don't need barbers. What is with these barbers? This happened to the Kansas City Chiefs also. What is going on here with barbers?
Are you not paying attention? Do you not see hairstyles and, I mean, appearances that
we don't need hairstyles?
No, we don't. Are we in the NBA? Could we even?
No. If,
okay, are we eligible by age for the NBA even if we had the skills? Are you paying attention? Come on, this is the real world. Your favorite movie, one of your favorite movies of all time.
Do the Right Thing.
Do the Right Thing.
Do
and
the
barber.
Right Thing.
You went crazy
over
the barber.
That's right.
One of your favorite characters of all time. So this should be fun
and
for
you. And we can't say that line on the air.
We can't.
But it makes me think of that all the time. Yes.
I knew you would get to that. You and your fascination with barbers, let it go. Major college basketball wrapped up its regular season over the weekend. On Saturday, number 4, Illinois got my man Ayo back, beat number 7, Ohio State, in Columbus. As I promised you, North Carolina pummeled Duke, leaving the Devils just 11-11 and in 10th place in the ACC. And on Sunday, Michigan State beating then number 2 Michigan for the Spartans' third win over a top 5 team in the last 16 days. Tone, what did you see as the most significant result of the college hoops weekend?
I think it's Michigan State winning. They're in the tournament now. You can't get rid of them. I don't care if they lose in their first game in the Big Ten tournament. They beat Illinois, Michigan, and Ohio State, three top five teams, and they're in. The other games are not surprises. Illinois is the hottest team in the Big Ten, and Ohio State is not the hottest team in the Big Ten. So Illinois winning that game is not a surprise. And Duke losing. Duke lost at Duke to Carolina, and they got just roasted. Man. In Carolina. And as we've been saying for a while, they're going to have to at least go to the finals of the ACC tournament, maybe even have to
win it
to get in. So it's Michigan State. You agree, I'm sure.
I think I do. And Tony, how many times have we seen Izzo's teams look? We're going, I don't really know about them at the end of February. And then they start March with this march right through the Big Ten or whoever else they got to go through, and they get into the tournament, and sometimes they make noise in the tournament. So I'm leaning toward the same position you are about Michigan State. But, Tony, I'm going to go back to Illinois. I've been telling you, even when they sort of hit a rough patch
in January, Illinois.
I told you,
you
I think they're the best team in the country, potentially. And, Tony, for them to win the two games they did, to go on the road, and they didn't crush Ohio State. I told you that game might sort of be overtime-ish, and Ohio State was playing with a certain desperation, but after beating Michigan and just stoning them in Ann Arbor, I think it's still Illinois, which I think is the threat to the teams on top, all right? So to both Baylor and to Gonzaga, I think Illinois is a real threat, and we got to wait a long time. We got to get to maybe, probably the final weekend for that. But I would take that and the Big Ten, both those teams, as my big developments this past weekend.
Yeah, I would say I would just say this one thing, that not a lot changed for me with one exception. Baylor reestablishing itself
as
the number two seed in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, that because the Big 12 is a very tough conference as well. Maybe not quite as good as the Big Ten, but
good
better
games
than everybody else. So Baylor is again the number two team. Bryson DeChambeau, who I know you hate, Wilbon, won the Arnold Palmer tournament yesterday. He was the only contender to shoot under par on Sunday. He hit an array of booming drives. On the par 5 sixth hole, he changed the entire geography of how to play that hole. He went over the lake, which nobody ever does. It's a 330 carry. DeChambeau went 370. And he got a pre-round text from Tiger Woods encouraging him to win. Wilbon, has DeChambeau now answered all the questions you have had about him?
No, I don't really have any questions. I just think he's a nice villain. He and Patrick Reed are sort of villainous, and this is good for golf. I don't hate him. I like to root against him. I will cop to that. I told you several times yesterday in text, speaking of, you don't text, but we text, I told you several times DeChambeau's going to win because it's kind of a weak-kneed top board, right?
Yeah.
Top of the board.
Yeah.
It just wasn't that board. Because half those guys are already up in Jacksonville, you know, getting ready for the TPC. So the board was not the board. We'll find out about a board this weekend. DeChambeau did what he was supposed to do yesterday, Tony. He was the best player in that field, and he closed. He won in tough conditions with that wind. But am I going to sit here now? He's won once since the U.S. Open. That's good.
Right.
Is he, like, dominating the field? No, he's not. And we'll have a chance to see what he does in a real big boy field this week.
So I'm glad that you said that he won, because even though others receded, he won the tournament.
Yeah.
He was under par. Of all the contenders, he had the best round. When I say you hate him, I don't mean you hate him. I mean you actually hate him. And you do the same with Patrick Reed, and I'm glad you mentioned him. You always say these guys aren't as good as Tiger. They're no threat to Tiger. They can't carry Tiger's jock, all of which is true. But Tiger actually likes both of them.
Both. What does that
he
mean?
He knows really
they're his chumps. You embrace a couple of guys that you know are really talented, but they're no real threat to Tiger. They're not.
Tiger likes them. Tiger
he
likes
does.
Them.
It's
now,
so
look,
weird.
DeChambeau does not win with driving because he does not have good driving accuracy. He won at this tournament the way he won at Wingfoot. He wins with his wedges and his putter. He gets it so far, but he buries it in the rough.
Wedges.
He never has to use a 5-iron.
No.
He never has to use a 6-iron. He's only using wedges and a putter, and that's how he won. The one other thing I wanted to say, and in the post-game interview, he was so complimentary to Tiger.
He was.
He was so solicitous of Tiger.
He should be.
He was. Jordan Spieth is killing me now. He keeps going top five, but on Sunday, he fades. on Sunday, he's not contending. And you wonder, is he going to win? The one other thing, Mike, Phil Mickelson dropped out of the top 100 for the first time in 28 years. Can
that
you believe
is unbelievable.
That?
Tony, the other thing was Phil never reached number one. And some other guys did. Lee Westwood,
right?
Who couldn't close yesterday either, was number one
close.
At one point. Phil was number two behind Tiger for 270 weeks. Are you kidding me?
Tiger.
So what's better?
No,
to be number one for a minute or be number two for 270 weeks to Tiger?
He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's got the wins. Let's take a break. But coming up, Trevor Bauer says keeping one eye closed helps him as a pitcher. But was he really just trolling the Padres?
And will Blake Griffin make a great contribution to the Nets as James Harden believes he will?
Blake Griffin. Like Phil could be Dominique to Larry Bird, right? I mean, he just can't get by him, right? I mean, that's possible.
That's what he's been, 270 weeks. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
That's years
but
and
28
years.
28 years.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's mail time. You send basic questions, and I lend them gravitas when I recite them aloud. Let me see what's first.
Mail time? Recite? Really? What an English major word.
James Harden says Blake Griffin can make a great contribution to the Nets. Do you agree?
No. I think the Nets have all they need. I don't see Blake Griffin making a great contribution, maybe a contribution off the bench and really then as sort of a, I don't know, seventh or eighth or ninth man. I mean, the narrative was that the Nets couldn't play good enough defense. They can play good enough. They're not going to be great. And that they weren't deep enough. That they are deep enough. This helps. And he may win a game with a contribution. They don't even know. James Harden doesn't know if Blake can play yet. We all want to see that. I hope he's healthy enough to make that contribution. But great contribution? It seems like an overstatement to me, Tone.
I said this the other day. I don't know why the Nets wanted him, and I don't know why he wanted the Nets. I don't really get this. They say he's going to play backup center. He's not a center. The position he plays on the court is the position Kevin Durant plays. And he's not playing over Kevin Durant. I don't know how many minutes he's going to get. I don't know what he's going to do to get the ball with Kyrie and with Harden and with Durant, who are all better than he is at
this
point.
You can make a second unit with him and Kyrie.
Okay. But you know what? I look at this as like Blake Griffin said to himself, I got nothing going on this year, so I'll go chase a ring. This just, it just sort of feels, you know, like early retirement for Blake Griffin this year. You're much more optimistic about this than I am.
Optimistic?
I don't get it at all.
I said no great contribution. I can see him making a small contribution. I don't really see him helping the Lakers, Tony. Look, if they're the favorites and they're now the favorites and they can win a ring and he can win a ring, I get it.
Do you see Trevor Bauer pitching to the Padres with one eye closed as training or trolling?
I don't see it as anything. you know, Trevor Bauer's he's now a guy I want to see pitch. I don't want to hear. But he had his right eye closed, or he says he did, for X number of batters. Most of the first inning, he got two strikeouts. And he points to it, and he says it helps him train his concentration. He's better. Because when he opens his second eye, watch out, he's Don Drysdale. I like to see him pitch. The guy's great. And he just seems like he likes to make a big deal out of whatever he's into. I'm not making a big deal of it. I don't care. Do you?
Well, he's sort of like Nuke LaLoosh, rolling his eyes back into his head and stuff like that. I watched all this stuff on what appears to be the Trevor Bauer channel. I guess he's got his own channel somewhere.
YouTube.
And at one point, what he said, I want to get the quote exact. I figure if they can't score off me with one eye open, it's going to be difficult to score off me with two eyes open. Look, he's a provocateur. He understands that the Padres are the main competition to the Dodgers in the NL West, and he's trying to get under their skin.
I agree with
that. It strikes me that Trevor Bauer's favorite person in the world is Trevor Bauer. He likes to say things that are sort of weird to see if you're interested. In a way, he's almost like Kyrie Irving, and you wonder, is he going to come out with incense at some point?
If he does, that'd be great. If he comes out with incense to the mound, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Enough email. Let's take one last break, but still to come, your Bears are reportedly serious about Russell Wilson. How's that going to turn out?
You just heard my reaction to how it's going to turn out. And we'll share some thoughts on the 50th anniversary of what I think and what you think is the greatest sporting event in modern history. Maybe the greatest sporting event in all history.
The show they put on yesterday that I watched was great.
Great, it was.
Just great.
Sorry, All-Star Game. Whoa. No, that wasn't it.
No.
Ali Frazier, boys and girls.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 68th birthday, Jim Rice. The Red Sox Hall of Fame left fielder was the American League MVP in 1978 and an 8-time All-Star. He led the American League in homers 3 times and an RBI 2. Rice holds the Boston records for home runs, 382, RBI, 1,451, and hits, 2,452, for a right-handed hitter. Ted Williams, Carl Yastrzemski, and David Ortiz all batted left-handed. With Rice in left, Fred Lynn in center, and Dwight Evans in right, the Red Sox had one of the best outfields ever. Rice and Lynn were MVPs, and Evans was a tremendous defensive player with a cannon for an arm.
Rice was so imposing, Tony, and when he just stood on top of the plate, you thought, how could anybody get it past him? Big, strong, quick. Well, you go back and talk about 5-tool players, which they used to. Jim Rice had to have been one of them, and it was just, he was sort of majestic to watch, I thought.
Happy anniversary, Joe Frazier. This is posthumous, but on this day, 50 years ago, Frazier retained his World Heavyweight Championship by defeating Muhammad Ali in a 15-round decision in one of the greatest, most electric fights in boxing history. This was Ali's first loss and the end to some of his mythology when Frazier knocked him down in the 15th round. The setting was Madison Square Garden and the crowd was star-studded. Frank Sinatra was ringside, working as a photographer for Life magazine. You thought you were a star? You better have a ticket to this one. Barbara Streisand, Miles Davis, Dustin Hoffman, and Sammy Davis Jr. did. Recently, I heard a story that James Taylor and his producer and manager, Peter Asher, sat ringside because Taylor had a contract to perform at the Garden that night, and the cost of getting him to move the date was 2 ringside tickets.
It's the greatest event, Tony, of my entire life. Not just sporting event. I mean, if you took all of it, okay, maybe the moon landing, but this is it. And I wanted to go when I was 12 years old, 50 years ago, my brother and I, and my mother said to my father, you better not spend $15 a seat to go watch Closed Circuit in 1971. That money was like a third of his bring-home paycheck. And yet, my father snuck somehow, got the tickets for the three of us and my Uncle Sonny, and the tickets were on our plates at dinner the night before. We escaped my mother. We went and we watched the greatest event ever. And Tony, I remember being miserable that Ali lost. I mean, Brian Gumble once said, Ali lost, that means we all lost, for those of us who rooted for Ali. There's nothing like it in my life. I watched it yesterday. And for people who didn't watch it, go watch it. Go watch Ali Frazier and the 50th anniversary special, because there's nothing in the history of this country, maybe the world, quite like it.
Both fighters were never the same
never
after
the same.
This, but both were ennobled,
warriors is overused,
ennobled
not
by
for
the
them.
Way they fought.
Yes.
It was such a great fight, and Joe Frazier gave everything that he had, left nothing out
there. Hit him
there,
with the hardest Ali punch anybody's ever seen.
Just
Ali
great.
Was up by the count of three. Watch
yeah,
the fight.
In the 15th.
Watch it.
Happy trails once again to Tom Wilson. The Washington Capitals' pugnacious forward was suspended 7 games for his hit that sent Boston defenseman Brandon Carlo to the hospital on Friday night. Wilson was not penalized in real time, but a league review said Carlo was in a defenseless position when Wilson made contact with Carlo's head and sent him into the glass. Wilson had previously been suspended 4 times and fined twice for excessive hitting. Boston coach Bruce Cassidy called it a predatory hit, but Washington coach Peter Laviolette said Wilson delivered a hockey hit, the kind that happens many times each game. For those keeping score, this is Wilson's first suspension since 2018, and he has the suspension hat trick, preseason, regular season, and postseason suspensions.
You know, Tony, the NFL has sought to take this very act out of play in professional football. The NHL has gone a couple of steps toward it, but Tom Wilson, talk about repeat offender. You look up repeat offender, and there's a picture of Tom Wilson. And I know he's a great player, and I know he has sort of stayed on the right side of this activity for the last 3 years, but you can't have this. And maybe it's time, if Wilson does it again, for a much bigger and more punitive suspension.
Quick to the big finish.
Let's
Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer reports that the Warriors are interested in trading for Victor Oladipo. Does that make sense?
It does. Oladipo will be great there. I don't want to have to get rid of Wiggins to do it, but Oladipo just seems like he'd be a terrific fit. Mort reports Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie wants to support Jalen Hurts rather than have a quarterback competition. What do you think of that?
I'd give him the first 5 or 6 games just to see. The offense seemed to perk up with him in there. I'd give it to him. Brad Biggs of the Chicago Tribune reports that the Bears are prioritizing a run at Russell Wilson. You must be excited.
No, it's one thing to prioritize him. Brad Biggs is a terrific reporter. He knows what he's talking about. But I don't think the GM there can get it done, Tony. You got to be resolute. You got to be creative. You got to get it done. And I don't know if he can. Southern Conference title game tonight. Mercer, UNC Greensboro, who you got?
I'm going to take Greensboro. They're the one seed, last one Sunbelt Conference title game tonight. App State and Georgia State. Who you got?
Taking Georgia State, Tony, in this one.
All right, we're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheim.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcast,